Hallelujah. Well, I welcome everyone from Plano at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Oh, I forgot to read the script right. It is 9 a.m. We did this because we wanted our friends in Zimbabwe and other areas of the world be able to tune in and watch what's going on. And it's a great blessing to me. I know it is the people in Zimbabwe, steady, and all the rest. But they put pictures of their well completed up. And you can see it on Kathy D's site. Is that right?
My Facebook page.
Yes. Facebook page. See, I don't even know how to speak this stuff. But I have someone that's always helping me. So it's a great blessing. And I just praise the Lord for what he's doing. And I want to say this. I have been working with Steady for years, back in the 1990. It was the first time that I think we worked together. He took the office, opened the office for me in Harare. And he's an unusual person. Unusual. He'll humble himself and hear God. I will not tell you who, but two notable ministers in Africa that I know spoke very highly of Steady to me years ago. So Steady, you need to hear that. And I won't use their names in case they forgot what they said to me. But it was very complimentary. And I found it to be just that way, him to be that way. Well, I marvel at what God is doing in my life at such a young age. I'm not kidding you, what he's doing. Things are coming out about my life, about my background. I was born, of course, in 1932, so you can figure out how young I am. But let me tell you this, strong and haven't lost one bit of determination or zeal to serve God, and have been through for the past about 9 years the power of darkness, the attacks of the wicked, the devil, the fiery darts shooting at me. And they all wrote me off, you know. They even said they were going to be present to film my end. And I said, well, if you do, you're going to film me going up to meet Jesus. Where are you going to be? Amen. In the air. Mercy, grace, and peace on all of those that hate me, that oppose me. I pray for my enemies, and they all need mercy, they need grace, and they need peace. See, they're not really my enemies, they're enemies of the Lord, enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that's not two wooden sticks, that, nor is it a gold cross hanging on a chain around your neck. I had a man once who was present in this sanctuary. I did not know much about him, but I was speaking, and the Lord said, someone here has a crucifix, and you need to sell it and give to the poor. And this man happened to be a physician, came up after I finished speaking, and he said, God was talking to me. I've got a crucifix that I paid $8,000 for. I thought, my Lord, that'd have bought a good horse. At least a pretty good. Anyway, I want to thank God for all that he is doing. there was a move of God in Southeast Kansas in 18... 1992, I believe. And there was a 21-year-old man, a rancher, cattle rancher in southeast Kansas. And the Lord saved that man. He was a Methodist and was not afraid or reluctant to share that he wanted to hear Methodist teachings. And what was amazing, he was listening to them and didn't know it. That's the way people are, you know. But God saved that man's life. And when he was 40 years old, he started preaching. And he preached for about 25 years. And it just so happens that my family, the Davidsons, and Claude and Neva Dodson, Uncle Claude lived to be 100. He was my Aunt Neva's husband, Neva Davidson. And they moved to Independence, Kansas in 1919 to operate a farm of an orphanage that this man, Benjamin Wesley Young, had purchased for an orphanage. I knew about these people growing up. I was with that group of people in church until I was 18 years of age, and then I said to my dad, my father, earthly father, if you will give me permission, I'm not going back to this church anymore. It's not doing me any good. And he said, well, if it's not doing you any good, I wouldn't go back either. You know, I was mistaken about some of it, but there was a man, and that was in 1950, by the way. There was a man with that group of people that I loved to hear speak. His name was Levi Burkhart. He was a man, all I can remember about him, he was white-headed with a mustache and very methodical in his speaking and his moving. I mean, he walked like he had all day to get there. And sometimes now, I think that's the way I walk. But I'm expecting to get more speed any day because my eyesight's improving and I'll be able to see and be quick again on my feet. The reason I'm so slow moving, I don't want to trip and fall on my head. And in the past 5 years, most certainly, what has happened to me has humbled me more, proved me more, Deuteronomy 8, showed me what was in my heart and that I was willing to keep God's commandments. And I appreciate that I would do this job and do it with all of my heart. Miss Patty, my first wife, is in heaven now, went there in 2003. And she said, Doyle, I've never known a person like you. Everything you do, you put your whole heart into it. I said, well, that's what you should do as well. But she couldn't do that. Her heart was not like mine. Amen. I don't know where we may be going, you know. Anyway, her heart was not as mine. But I appreciate her. She happens to be the mother of Kathy, my daughter and hers. And I I give thanks for Lord Jesus. This has to be God. I had no intention of doing this. Hope we're out of here by 5. You know, I don't have a script, and that's dangerous. But Pat and I got married in 1952 at Linda Vista Presbyterian Church, Linda Vista, California. When I had joined the Navy, her and I had dated about 3 years in high school and after I got out of high school, before I joined the Navy. And I came home from the Navy from boot camp from San Diego in 1952 and spent 10 days. And we talked, but not about marriage. Not 1 minute did we mention it. I was in the Navy, didn't know what was ahead of me, and did not want to at all have a wife in the Navy, because what are you going to do with them? Well, God had a plan. So I get back to San Diego, and I'm now in the hospital school at Balboa Naval Hospital in San Diego, and early June, God said, you need to marry Patty. I said, what? So I called her and I said, hey, Pat, how would you like to get married? Of course. Hoping she'd say no. When do you want me to come? Well, don't be in such a hurry. It was God. He'd already been working on her, probably a lot more or less than me. But anyway, she got there. We got married. June 5, 1952. And then... later, I was sent to Oak Knoll Naval Hospital in Oakland, California. That's where Kathy Mayer was born. Then they shipped me out 7 days before she was born to Japan. And when Kathy was less than 7 months old, I know God was with me in all this. God worked it out for me to get a Japanese house in Kamakura, and we rented one. I was not eligible at that time for the base housing. I was just a third class petty officer hospital corpsman. But I knew how to pronounce it. And so I got a Japanese house in Kamakura, at about 6 blocks from the Big Buddha. Kathy and Pat arrived in Japan about, I think it was May 1st, somewhere in there, 1953, have to be. And we lived there, thank God. Got out of the Navy, and we actually got base housing. I made second class. You can look on my website. You can see me sitting at a typewriter with my white uniform on and the blue crow with the two stripes. Second class, petty officer. Always wondered why they called us petty. That was the way they thought. Still do. Amen. But anyway, got out, went to vet school, and had a very successful veterinary practice, thank God. And in 1969, God told me, sell your practice and obey me. I had known for years that I should preach the gospel, but I didn't know what the gospel was. my dad, my father. I call him dad because it says in the Bible, call no man father. And I am a doer of the word. I called dad one day. I used to call him my father. I said, dad, you know, the Bible says, call no man father. And I want to tell you, no disrespect to you, but I'm going to call you dad and call Jehovah Father. Being a Davidson, he laughed. He was not offended. By now, he was happy that his son, of whom he told for years, you're going to have to preach the gospel, was obeying God. So, I thank God for Dad, the Davidson's background, because they got acquainted in about 1919, really. And I don't know how to fit this together, so we'll probably jump back and forth from one time span to another. I'm not sure. But we're back to Fatty. I believe this is where God wants us to go. And perhaps tomorrow we'll talk more about the Davidsons and about a man named Levi Burkhart and Paul Smith I spoke of last night. But I think God is leading me. I know he is. I quit thinking a long time ago. If I can or could, I taught Terry Meyer pretty well, and I'd make a mistake once in a while. What are you thinking? I try not to. That was his response. So, in 1980, God sent me to Plano. 1981, we bought this building. Thought I'd be in it 2 years maximum. Here we are 33 years later in it. The only thing is, I thought I'd have a big crowd in a big sanctuary in America, but that was not God's intent because he told me America wouldn't hear me. March 1979. God told me that, and sure enough, they haven't. They don't want the truth. They want lies. They want someone to tell them a lie. That same group of people, I think it was, to one of the prophets, said, prophesy, they were Jews, prophesy lies to us. Tell us lies. That's America. That's a human heart. That's sad. But God has a people. He has a people. And my ideas have changed from a remnant to the world saved, back and forth. Today I'm not going to tell you where I'm at because I don't know. There is a period of time where there are weeks appointed for the harvest. That's Jeremiah chapter 5. I met these people. I met a man, hope he's listening, told me he read a report where they believed 4 million would be saved. I said, and who authored that one? And saved from what? By what? I recall I had a good friend. Her father was an admiral, United States Navy, and she was a strong woman, a client of mine, owned show horses, Arabians actually. And somebody walked up to her once and said, are you saved? And she said, from what? And the person didn't know. And I was talking to her one day about that, and I said, oh, not only from what, but to what? Revelation 5 tells you. From. To God. To God. Not saved to denomination. Or denominations. Or to a man. Or to a woman. But to God. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, blood, and nation. Saved. Saved. Remarkable, huh? To God. Well, I was blessed to be saved to God by Jesus. Not to a denomination, not to a man, but Jesus. When I was approaching 6 years of age, not only that, but I was ordained a prophet to the world. When God formed me in my mother's womb, that was far out. I said, that was Jeremiah. That's true, but that's also Doyle. You see, God does what he wants, and you have no choice except obey. So, we're in this building, and I'm now on radio 5 days a week with a 14-minute program on 20 stations, and now on television. We're pulling back on radio, and we're now on television 1 hour. 1 hour live on Saturday night in Dallas and Fort Worth, Channel 49. Most interesting thing happened. God had taught me for about, I don't know, more than 12 years to pray and how to pray. And we have a fellowship hall, holds about, well, easily 250, right off to this left side here, my left. And we were in there praying. Patty, that we started talking about, loved the life her and I had, the life we lived. We didn't consider ourselves rich, but we didn't owe much money. I was a good businessman. We owned a couple of farms, one in Texas, one in Missouri. Owned show horses, some cattle, some investments, our veterinary hospital practice, our home, 2 cars, a boat, paid cash for the boat, paid cash for the cars, always drove Catalinas, Pontiac Catalina, and the first car that I bought apart from my practice car was for Patty. It was a Le Mans Sport. And Pontiac. Then we moved from there to a Bonneville. That was just one step below a Cadillac. And I was young, and people were already complaining about owning my car. When I'd buy a new one, I got one every year because I wore one out. And I had to learn quick. I said, oh, so I bought another car. No, the bank did. They didn't know that things normally didn't. Well, I wasn't much in debt. God was blessing me greatly because he was going to change my life. Patty was a china painter, played some tennis. She liked what she was doing, took Kathy and the girls to basketball games and so forth, and I was so busy as a veterinarian doing what God told me not to do, but he was with me. And when God sold our practice, we spent 10 years in the wilderness, certainly 7 and 3 almost. God was working with my heart, changing me in a major way. Patty didn't understand it. She didn't have the heart for it. And she didn't like what had happened to us. She said to me one day, "Doyle, I did not marry a preacher." I said, "Patty, you didn't marry a veterinarian either. You married a man in the Navy, had 2 little white stripes right there. And I was making $70 a month. And when I got you, I got 20 more. That's big pay, you know that? Then here comes Kathy, and now I get 30 for her. I'm really in tall cotton. But I couldn't sell it." So I said, "Patty, you're going to have to get a job." She did. And we did well. I had some horses and cattle before I went in the Navy and sold them and so forth. We got along well. We're jumping back and forth. I told you we would. Time frame. But Patty didn't like what was happening to us. And she listened to lying spirits. Lying spirits talking about co-pastors, husband and wife, co-pastors. It's witchcraft. After being an apostle, at a foundation, I was sober, and I was not looking for a place to preach. I was always laid back. In fact, at the Davidsons, I was the least unlikely, or the most unlikely, pardon me, to ever preach. I had a cousin, he's still alive, 90 years old. He said, "I could have believed that your sisters would preach, but not you." Too bad. He's the same one that said to me when I went on television, "Did you learn television in the Navy?" I said, "No, I learned television when I stepped up before a camera." And the people at Channel 49 said, "You're the only preacher we've ever had around us that didn't change when they got in front of a camera." I said, "Well, why would I change? I've done okay without changing, you know, and this is the way I am, and I'm not going to change it anymore at all, for sure." But Patty saw an opportunity, and it was deceit. The body of Christ is full of it. Full of it. Co-pastors, husband and wife. God set first in a church apostle, secondarily prophet, thirdly teacher. Pastors, teachers, that's 1 Corinthians 12. But now we're talking from Ephesians chapter 4. See, I tell you, I jump back and forth. People say, "You're confused." Oh, no, I'm not. Not at all. God knows what he's doing. And you know what amazed me? God could take me here and go over here, and I can talk and come right back to the same thought. where I live. It's God. It's not me. KD knows that, right?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. But in Ephesians chapter 4, God is putting the church apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. Now, you see, I'm a student of the Bible still. I'm a doer of the word. James chapter 1, verse 22. Doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving my own self. Not at all. It's remarkable that God gave me that heart. But he made me for this job. And I said, the day God told me that, I said, well, if you made me, I can't fail. Because you never made anything, it wouldn't work. Had that confidence in God. Still do. So, in September of 84, Patty saw an opportunity that she could be equal to Doyle, her husband. She had rebellion in her. She didn't want to serve God. She was a woman that had all the money she needed. Her mother told her more than once, she'd send Pat a gift, and her mother would say, Patty, it's difficult to buy something as a gift and give it to a woman that's got everything she needs or wants. Wasn't my opinion, that was her mother's. I said, oh no, Catherine, you haven't talked to her lately. She loved money, so did I. Money was my God. We lived a nice lifestyle. Kathy lived along with us. But back to 84, Pat heard this spirit talking. It didn't take a whole lot to deceive Patty. It doesn't take much to deceive you or me. Revelation 12 says, the devil deceiveth the whole world. I was deceived most certainly when I became a veterinarian. It was an amazing lifestyle that I've lived. But in September 84, thank God, I was in a fellowship hall praying, walking around praying. I don't know how many people were in there, 50 perhaps. And all of a sudden, I heard someone laughing hysterically. And I turned and looked, and in that fellowship hall, I can show you within inches where Patty was standing and her niece, Debbie Edge, standing beside her, or near her. And what was remarkable, I knew Pat. I knew her well. And she was a sober woman. A sober woman. And her and Debbie were laughing, hysterical. Well, I knew it was not my wife. I knew it. After all, we'd been Navy, Japan, vet school, vet practice, 10 years in the wilderness and establishing this ministry in 1984. 84. And she is going nuts. Amen. I think everything has changed for this meeting. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Amen. I did not know this was coming, although I thought it a couple days ago, and then I said no. Anyway, I went over to them. And hysterical laughter. And when I got, 4 or 5 feet or so from Pat, a power hit me like that. And I broke out in a sweat. And I stopped. And I said, "What is going on, Pat?" "Well, God told me to come lay hands on Debbie, her niece, and say, 'Be filled with the Holy Ghost.'" And I did, and here we are. I stood there. I'm a sober man, and anybody that knows me knows that. I'm not moved by emotion, even though I have emotion. You're not going to trip me. When I got into the charismatic movement, there was one thing that I was sure of. And I said it. I've been to church all my life. And there were some honest, sober people where I went to church. There were people with good intellects, real good ones. And they were a bunch of sober people that didn't embellish their testimony. They were not looking for a show. The Davidsons happened to be a family that was fairly wealthy for those days. My great-grandfather had 100 acres of strawberries in Jasper County, Missouri. A lot of strawberries, you know. My grandfather was a road contractor and was working on the road, US 66, 2 years before it was designated as 66, in Rolla, Missouri. And one day, God told him, "Stop what you're doing." He had 50 head of draft horses. I've often wished I could have watched that group of horses with their wagons and equipment going 100 and some miles from Rolla, Missouri, back to Sarcoxy. I've envisioned it must have looked like a wagon train. But anyway, Granddad Luke went to heaven in 46. He looked about like I do, about he was my size. When he went to heaven in 72, he was at 72 years of age. He didn't have a white hair in his head. Sit down in a rocking chair after he had dinner, went to heaven. You know, interesting. My dad was sitting in a rocking, in a recliner, really, talking to Betty Jackson, sister just younger than me, went to heaven. I talked to him 3 or 4 hours earlier. He talked to all 4 of his children, he shipped out. It was hard to shed a tear. that he went. It was because he was 88 and physicians were telling him, well, you cannot stay by yourself any longer. He lived in a house he built himself. Mother was in a nursing home. You've got to go where they can watch you, take care of you. He said, well, let me go home a few days and think about it. Amen. Yeah, he went home about 2 or 3 days. In sarcopsy. And he thought about it. He told me he wasn't going. A few hours later, he went home. Heaven. So I've always been grateful for him for that. But back to this spirit with Patty and Debbie. That thing spread all through my ministry. I did not know if it were God, or I didn't know if it was the Holy Ghost or some other spirit. I did everything I could to discern that thing. People went completely silly. People that were emotional became their emotions manifest. And those that weren't so emotional, nothing happened. That thing crossed, it went all through this building. People here. It was strange. I was on television. Thank God. It troubled me. I began to see this. This was 84. I began to see this thing manifest on television through people that were not associated with me at all, that didn't even like me. They didn't like my doctrine, and they made that known. But I wasn't getting down on the floor before a television camera and rolling or doubling up and groaning, and didn't go into a trance. And it was incredible what I saw. I call this place Doyle's Zoo. Any of you recall that? Oh, yeah. You do?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Because people act so strange. They'd howl like a wolf. One spiritual woman laid down and rolled, said God told her to go ahead. I didn't believe it was God at all. But who was I to tell somebody not to obey God? That woman's not here today. She hadn't been delivered from whatever made her roll. Amen. I watched all kinds of things take place, trouble me. Patty, because of that spirit in her, became my enemy. It got bad. There was a war in my house that had not been there. It was not at all fun. Troubling. But I didn't know what for sure it was. I did not want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I did not want to come against the Holy Ghost, and I said so. As Ezekiel Goody was here from Africa, he said, Doyle, you're going to have to stop this. I said, an amazing thing. I said, I will. when I had the faith. That was God talking. It was amazing. Amazing. After about 84, 98, was it? Yeah. 14 years, huh? March of 98, Patty and I had a checkbook to prove it. Was working in a checkbook, and her handwriting was really good. She had a good handwriting. And that evening, she had gone to the... So that afternoon, she went to beauty parlor, beauty shop, have her hair done, and she was trying to put that in a checkbook. Looked like some little kid writing. She had lost about 70% of the use of her arms and legs in not too many hours. I was one disturbed man. But I was a hospital corpsman, 4 years U.S. Navy. I worked 7 months as a senior corpsman on a neurosurgery ward where we had 22 or 26, I kind of forget exact, paraplegics, and we had 22, I think, paraplegics and four quadriplegics. It might have had 18, in total 22, I forget. But I took care of him 7 months as a senior corpsman. I spent about 26 months as a senior corpsman, Yokosuka Naval Hospital Dispensary Services, where all the emergencies came in. And there's three corpsmen on every night in three positions. And I rotated every other week. I went home 1 week to Kamakura. Next week I stayed in Yokosuka and worked. So I had considerable experience as a hospital corpsman. I saw all kinds of things, injuries, all that required treatment. I saw people brought in that landed airplanes on carriers and aircraft carriers. They didn't land correctly, shipwrecks, you name it. I saw all of this. And I said, you know, there's not a nurse in the country can do any better job than I can taking care of Patty, and I'll take care of her. He said, that's egotism. That's okay, nurse. Say what you want, but I can still do better than you. Had the wisdom of God in me. You know that? So I took care of her. And it wasn't fun. It came to a place where God told me, don't ride with her in the car. Put her in another car. Make her drive herself. Oh, by the way, that didn't last too long. We recovered. It's been a long time since I thought of this. She recovered to where she could drive her car, do her own shopping, the whole thing, for 2 years. Amen. That was 98 to 2000. I got a bit mixed up there, but God straightened me up for sure. She drove and did well till March of 98 when she lost 70% use of her hands and legs, arms and legs. And that shook me up. I was in South Bend, Indiana, at the Marriott, doing a crusade. And we bought breakfast for all the people that showed up on Saturdays. It's funny, people would come on Saturday and eat the food, and then they wouldn't go to the meetings. But God didn't care. Lester Sumrall said to me once, "Well, no man's ever done this." I said, "Lester, Jesus has." He fed a big bunch. But that morning, that Saturday morning, in South Bend, I said, "I believe that this is not the Holy Spirit in Patty. I believe this is witchcraft. It's a false anointing. It's all over the churches, all over the world. And in almost every pulpit that you see, they're full of it. They walk in flattering divination. Not this one, not going to." So that morning, I'd left Patty at home, got her some food, all fixed up, brought in for her to take care of herself, although it was difficult for her to even get around. Patty was a woman with a lot of character and determination and rebellion. And she said, "I'll be okay." So I spoke that morning at a breakfast, and I shared about Pat, and I said, "I believe this is witchcraft. I do not believe this is the Holy Ghost. I believe this is witchcraft." And I've been afraid to say so because I did not want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, a bunch of you don't care. You don't know you're going to the pit. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit all the time. I called her as soon as I got through with breakfast. I said, "Pat, how are you?" I called her right after I got through speaking. And she said, "About 30 minutes ago, I started getting better." I said, "Yes, I was talking. And I called this thing witchcraft, which is what it is." "Oh, I know you all talk about this blessing and that blessing, but my friend, your blessing is from the devil and not from God. Did you know within a few days she was well, back normal? And she had a new Cadillac, wasn't new, was a good one. And she said, it was a good one. She said, and I was driving a Tahoe. She said, "Would you buy me a Tahoe?" I said, "Sure." So I bought her a new Tahoe and gave her Cadillac away. She did buy it for 2 years. But she still had that rebellious heart, that rebel, rebellion in her. And she had a stroke. I was determined to take care of her at her in the best hospitals in North Texas. Spent thousands and thousands of dollars. Paid it all, every penny of it. Prayed for her. I was determined to set her free. That spirit in her hated me. That spirit in you hates me. But you know what? I overcame that spirit. I've never seen anything as wicked as that spirit was. Except I see it in all kinds of people that fight and oppose me. KD read one day, things that go on in me went on in Jeremiah. God showed her that. But,
right.
Amen. So, I'm going to shorten this. Pat went to heaven. Thank God. And she fell and broke her hip about 3 days before. And she went to heaven. I just have said all I want to about all this, and we're going to worship God. Probably more will come out about her, what that spirit did to her and to my ministry, but my friends, it's all over the world. All over the world. It is witchcraft. I've got to say this, and then we're going to worship. It takes no faith to operate it. None. You just sit and let it take you over, and then you do weird things. The faith in me fought it and overcame it. And before Pat went to heaven, and that spirit overcame it in her, and she was walking through the house one evening, and I was watching NBC News. She walked by me, she leaned down, gave me a hug, and she said, "Doyle, thank God for you. If you had not believed God and prayed, we'd have all gone to hell." And that was a fact.